Welcome to Self, where we discover what it means to be human in a society that shames us for trying to be ourselves.
Within Self, we will delve into topics that make us who we are. We know that there's a lot of bullshit in the world that tells you what you are and what you are not.
We're here to help you and ourselves filter through that. Come along with us as we embark on this journey of self.
So, I just came back from a dinner event. Mm-hmm. And at the event, we talked about our highlights of our breaks. One of the people that I adore, they're really, really sweet, they had said that their highlight was the fact that they lost 10 pounds over the break. Mm-hmm. And immediately I thought that was a bit problematic because it's putting emphasis on weight loss and the need to lose weight. And it got me thinking about the idea of like BOPO and body shaming. And then I was going to let it go, but then someone else made a comment to me as well. Mm-hmm. And they had said, like, good for them, I need to lose 10 pounds too. And I said, you look great regardless. Like whether you lose or gain, like you're fine. And then they responded, well, I mean, 10 pounds more really great on you, but not on me. And that really was like, I was like, okay, I need to come home and we need to talk about this right now. Because that was two experiences I had, like, in within hours of each other, in the same social setting of, like, this idea of, like, bodies and, like, you know, like, shaming yourself for gaining weight and then priding yourself on losing it.
Exactly. And so I think for a lot of people, this topic, if you've never heard of the body positive movement or concepts, this little intro, they're probably like, well, what's wrong with that, right? So why don't we tell people what the body positive movement is? So what is it to you?
Body positive to me means the awareness of your body, what it is, mm-hmm. how it looks and what it means to you, and acceptance of that within itself, acceptance of how it looks and how it feels, acceptance of, you know, where it jiggles, where it's flat, acceptance of where you have biceps or where you have, like, bat wings, as I call them, you know, myself, and then acceptance of other people in their bodies, you know, accepting bodies that are unlike yours, whether they are fat, whether they're thin, whether they're wide, whether they're short, small, just acceptance of bodies that are unlike yours, and also not adhering to a social guideline of what a body should be.
Exactly. I love that. And just to add on to what you said too, is just to give people sort of like a context of where it came from. And the body positive movement really did stem as a very feminist, activist, fat positive movement, and not necessarily the body positive that is mainstream culture now, that's sort of taken hold of this idea where we're seeing bodies, Kim Kardashian, Ashley Graham, Nicki Minaj. So it's these very hourglass, very mm-hmm. Strict figures of when it's okay to be body positive. Mm-hmm. But what about the people who are larger than that? What about the people who do not have flat stomachs, who have roles, who have larger bodies that are deemed unfit, unhealthy, all these things from society? And so the body positive movement really stemmed from this idea of, no, we're going to reclaim our bodies as beautiful, as healthy, as okay right now as we are, without having to change any of that. And so I just think that's a good way to sort of preface this whole discussion we're going to have for people.
Yes. May I ask, where did your journey into body positivity start?
Oh, you just going to throw some stuff in off there. Off the grid. I'm going to go off script. Just kidding. Let's see. For me, it began, it's funny because I thought it was only last summer, but I think it was last year. Actually, I lied. It was more closer to the summer. I don't really quite remember exactly what happened, but there was just a lot going on. Like, my mom was here, mm-hmm. Keith was here. There was just a lot of things happening. And I was feeling really insecure about my body, and I really was seeking kind of like a support group, and I was curious about these other alternatives. And so I started listening to different podcasts, and the first one I found was Body Love, which was amazing. She stopped making podcasts, but she was the first one I listened to. And then it was the Bodcast, which the one that I ended up sharing with you. And they they had such radical but such like beautiful messages that resonated with me, because I'd never been given the concept that my body was okay right now in this moment as it was. Like most of us that have grown up in a diet culture and that have absorbed that diet culture, we're taught that our lives don't start and we are not good enough until we have hit a certain weight. And so for me, the concept of like, you don't have to do anything and like literally you're okay. Mm-hmm. That was like so foreign to me. And so that's, for me, that's kind of where it all started. It, yeah, listening to that one podcast, really. No. What about for you?
For me, it started, I want to say after I graduated high school and went to community college. It really kind of began with the journey of self that we talked about in our first episode as well. I'm trying to think who I was with. I had discovered, Chelsea, my friend Chelsea Chavira, she had given me a t-shirt that everybody's wearing, a t-shirt for, I think it's more for my birthday, and she had given it to me as a present, and it was the F.U.B. Standards, essentially signed logo. And I saw it was beautiful, and I had heard about body positivity before, but I didn't necessarily know what it was. And she had given me that, and I was like, I love it. And she was initially, like, yes, from this movement. And I was like, yeah, I love the movement. You know, because I wasn't going to be caught not knowing shit, which is horrible. I have a habit of doing that. But I looked into it, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. So it really began when I first got into, I want to say 2014 is when I really got into the BOPA movement, which at that moment for me, it was, in my mind, it was began by Tess Holliday. Mm-hmm. And so that would inspire me to begin looking into what body positivity meant. And that thing, that was the first time where I saw a fat body, mm-hmm. and someone like own their fat body, because I'm fat as well. There really is no way to like not see that within myself. And so that was like the first moment where I realized like being fat was okay. Yeah. You know, because you know I'm fat. My mom's fat. You know, there are people. Some of my siblings are fat as well. And we've all have had like this diet culture notion that we have to keep losing weight and keep being thinner and be more muscular and all that stuff. And that, you know, and yeah, that your life starts when you lose weight. And my mm-hmm. you know, my mom in particular had a really huge impact on me, because she's always been quote unquote overweight. And so that's translated into a lot of how we view food, and in a lot of ways that affected our relationship, because it was constantly the idea of like, you know, like we tried almost every diet together. We tried to do like liquid diets, we tried like OptiFast, we tried Jenny Craig, we tried Weight Watchers and stuff, you know. And I was getting really tired of internalizing all that hatred for myself, mm-hmm. and I was at a point where I was like, I need to break away from this notion that my body is bad. Mm-hmm. And so I found the movement, and that's how I began my journey, which I still definitely still have my struggles with. There are some days where I come home and I'm like, oh my God, I feel so fat and blah, 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 blah. But it's from where I was when I first started, I am a lot better now.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think that leads into the next question, which you sort of answered a little bit, but have you experienced body shaming before?
Yes, and I have experienced it in essentially all facets of life, kind of. Mm-hmm. I've experienced it in the home, experienced it in the schoolyard. I've experienced, I want to say, in almost every way you can experience it. There are verbal ways, there are ways of body language, there are through social cues, there are through the mere act of like not acknowledging your existence as a fat person. And so there's a lot of huge factors, but I've always been fat, and I've always known that I've been fat, so a lot of it began with the idea of not being picked for a sport team at school, for the soccer game or basketball game, or being picked last because I'm fat, and they all see, like, we don't want to play the fat kid because he's gonna drag us down, you know. It, you know, stemmed from being picked on for, just for walking slow. Whenever I hung out with my friends, you know, they would run somewhere, they'd be like, why do you take so long to get here? It stems from people bullying me because of my weight, you know. People push me down saying that I'm not good enough. People saying that I'm going to die early, that I'm going to die of a heart attack, that I'm going to die of a stroke, that I'm going to, lose myself to my weight. It stems from diet culture and people saying that if you eat this, you'll be fat, you know. I will say my weight is attributed, I will say, to my parents growing up. They fed me a lot of, like, fat-filled foods, like a lot of fried foods, a lot of, like, really hearty foods, a lot of carb-loaded foods that do add to your weight. And my parents did feed me that a lot. We had a lot of fast food as well. So my parents and I had a discussion a while ago that I do attribute a lot of my weight and my view of food growing up to them. I don't place the blame on them, but I just said, like, you have...
In what sense, though? Your view of food on them. What did you mean by
that? I used to consume fast food a lot when I was younger. It's not that fast food is, quote-unquote, bad. It's just, as opposed to cooking for myself. As opposed to, like, you know, like, I...
So you weren't exposed to a lot of different ways of preparing
preparing foods and just like viewing foods and food and food consumption.
Okay.
So I attributed a lot to them, and even in the home there was shaming. My mom would ask, "Do you need to have those fries? Do you need to have the extra piece of bread?" There was an idea of, like, quote unquote portion control, which is a problematic issue. You know, but, like, I always had second and third plates. I over-consumed, or I consumed in excess of food, you know, past the point where I was, like, on the couch, like, a beach whale, like, oh my God, I'm so full, you know, instead of eating intuitively. I was just, like, I just keep eating, you know, and so even then that there was shame between my family. A lot of conversations of, like, you look a bit bigger, have you tried working out, it's a long story that it needs to be, but I've experienced shame in many different ways my whole life because of my body. And I even experienced it now, in terms of when I go, in terms of when I walk to class and I sweat, which everyone sweats, you know, even I've seen thin people sweat too, but because I sweat, you know, people will be like, why are you so sweaty? And it's like, I just walked
a mile
to get here.
Yeah, well, uphill the whole way.
Well, I don't sweat. Do you exercise regularly? Like
people have said that to you.
Like, I still experience it today in college life.
I gotta breathe, just because things like that frustrate me. But I wanted to touch back on something too, just because I think... you made the comment about there were times that you would eat in quote-unquote excess to the point where you're extremely full. And, like, I just want to let you know, like, that's okay. Like, and I think people think that when you practice intuitive eating, it's this whole perfect thing of, like, I pay attention to my body all the time. Like, it is, but also at the same time, like, it's about realizing there's going to be days when I eat more than when my stomach is comfortably full, and I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and be mad at myself or feel bad about myself because the bread tasted good and I wanted another piece of bread, even though I was still full. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? So it's not about hating ourselves in that process too, you know?
I agree. There are days where I will have one Cheddar Bay biscuit from Red Lobster, and I will have eight Cheddar Bay biscuits from Red Lobster. And growing up, my mom said to have no biscuits from Cheddar Bay. Cheddar Bay biscuits from Red Lobster. One time we even had it was like, for a long time, it was a goal of ours, like, can we go the whole day without grabbing one biscuit and just having dinner, you know? And while you would think, like, oh, you know, like, you have a goal for yourself, but still implanted there's a shame there if you have that.
Exactly. Have that, and that, I think that's the problem people don't realize, is that in other instances of life, shame is not allowed, right? So I can't think of an example. If you, let me think. You can edit this part out. I can't think of an example. What I'm trying to say is, like, you're not allowed to shame someone for being black, usually, right? You're not allowed to openly shame someone, like, wow, it happens, but technically if someone's shaming you for being black or a woman or of the LGBTQI plus, like, of that community, That's not okay. However, our society has said that it's okay to openly shame people for their bodies and the way they look, and they've given it this title of health. And so it's all in the name of health.
And they do that because they see it as, well, you can't change your weight, and so you can't change your skin color, you can't change your disability, you can't change your
gender, sexuality,
but you can change your weight. So they see it as, so the people who believe in that idea of health versus unhealthy is like, they see it as like you're consciously choosing to be overweight and consciously choosing to like be fat and unhealthy. And even in you, and it,
and that's a pro, and that in itself, I interrupt you.
No, go ahead. Oh, nope, no, I was just going to say, and they correlate health and weight together, and they correlate in the sense of they're saying that your unhealth and unhealthiness is caused by your weight.
Exactly.
And they don't understand that there is correlation there, but not causation, which we've heard in other podcasts before. Literally that phrase. Correlation, not causation.
Exactly.
You know, there are health factors related to your weight, but they're not caused by your weight. And they've had this...
And there's science to back that up, which we can talk about later on in the whole process. But, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I've experienced a shit ton of shame in my life because of my body. How about you? Emily, air out your shame, because my shame is a long list. Not thinking of Game of Thrones. Shame!
Shame!
Shame! Shame! You have to keep... Anyways, have you felt shame before, Emily?
The shame that I've experienced. Obviously, my experience is a little bit different. Where to begin? I think for me, I was definitely chubbier in like elementary, middle school, as I feel like most kids tend to be, because that's when you're going through puberty, right? But kind of similar, like, I did get bullied sometimes. Like, I can remember in middle school, these boys commenting about, like, I think I had acne, and I had, they called me fat or something. So there definitely were instances of, like, people blatantly talking about my weight. And then, traumatic experiences for me, I think, was probably in PE, which you kind of touched on too. But like for me, I was always like one of the last people to finish the mile. Like I just didn't like running in that setting. And to me, it wasn't enjoyable because it was such a competition and it was such a like your worth depended on like where you fell on that. And then another horrible thing that they would do is freaking make you get in line as they would weigh you in front of everybody, say your weight, and then do your BMI and tell you if you were normal, overweight, obese. Mm-hmm. And I always felt in the obese because my height and weight, whatever BMI, which that's a whole other thing that has now been proven that the BMI is not even real or legitimate. That. We can, you know, do all that later. But so I just remember that was there were just all these messages being thrown at me. So you're going to school and you're with these mean ass little kids who are telling you that your body's not good enough. You're going home and you're seeing the media that's feeding you all these different things. And I'm having these experiences with my teachers and all these different kinds of things. And so I don't know if it was ever as open or blatant at but I think a lot of what I experienced was what's the word? Like over subliminal. It's like subliminal but not subliminal. So it was as I got older, so I lost a lot of weight when I went from 7th grade to 8th grade. Yeah, so I feel like mine was a lot more subtle, and it became a reverse kind of thing. So it became me being praised the times that my body changed in the sense of when my weight decreased. I remember I left for the summer to go visit my friend in Utah, and when I came back the summer before going to 8th grade, I lost like a lot of weight, right? And the attention I received when I came back was immense. Like I went from being like the nobody geeky person to like, oh, all of a sudden all these people are interested in me. Like, huh? What? What? Oh, you've lost so much weight. So you're young and you're just making all these connections in your head. Oh, okay. So I guess me losing weight gives me like social capital. It gives me acceptance. It gives me all these different things, right? And so I think a lot of it for me, as I've moved to like the older stages, and when I say older, I mean like high school and then moving on to now, right? It has been that experience, because my weight has fluctuated my entire life from high school to now, where I will gain 20 or something pounds, I'll lose 20 or something pounds. It's just my body just ebbs and flows in that sense, right? And so every time that you lose that weight, it's kind of like the sense of like praise that you get. And so you get caught up in this idea of like, oh my God, I have to lose the weight. And then the minute that your body weight goes back up, then you feel like, oh my God, I'm doing something horrible. Oh my God, my body's not good enough. Mm-hmm. Even if to other people, they may look at me and be like, oh, you are a quote unquote normal weight, or oh, you fall. We look at you and we think you're healthy. You still within yourself associate this certain weight and this BMI and this, all this mm-hmm. stuff to help.
I think you're making perfect sense. So how have you internalized that shame from other people into yourself?
How have I internalized it? I've completely internalized it in the sense of, yes, within the past year I've been trying to break away from it, but we both have 20 years of being told that our worth is
measured by our weight
and by how we look. And so yeah, I don't even know, and
I get where you're coming from, because truly, like, this is a hard topic, first of all, to explore. Mm-hmm. It's a really complex topic, which is why I think we'll definitely have probably multiple conversations about this topic. And it's really hard to place your finger on, to be quite honest, because it stems from so many places.
Yeah.
And there is no singular source.
No, it's from everywhere.
Yeah, it's honestly from every angle. You know, I experience it when I go into classrooms and you know, that's like an existential shame, because like no one's saying it, and maybe no one is thinking it. But my fears when I go to the classroom is like, will I fit into a chair and will they notice me?
Mm-hmm.
If I don't fit, will they notice? You know, there was a time in high school, a chair had broken. I was sat in a chair. It's really funny, actually. I sat in a chair because this was the only chair that, and I knew this chair was going to break too, because it was like one of those like old school wooden desks. And like, mind you, the classroom had like the brand new, like sturdy metal plastic desks. But these bitches left me the fucking wooden desk. So wherever I sat, that shit creeped. Said, and then one day in the middle of class, I wore this like really like stuffy sweater jacket. It was like really like a thick jacket. And when I started sliding into the seat, I was like, I'm not gonna fit. And I barely squeezed in, and I was like, the chair's gonna break today. I know it is, because it's what the sweater's gonna just, it's gonna be the straw that breaks the camel's back. And I remember sitting in this chair, and I hit this giant split crack, and the chair, it's flat, right, bends inwards, so it's pointing downwards towards the floor, right? And so we're teaching the middle of class, and I am holding myself up, like in squat position in this broken chair, and I low-key cannot get out, because I'm stuck because it's been inward, so it's like kind of crushing me. And I'm sitting in here for about 10 minutes, right? Sitting, like standing, or like squatting in this position, right? Trying to let no one notice, because people heard it, but no one knew where it came from. And then this dude next to me looks at me and he says, bro, you broke the chair. And then I said, yes, I did. And he said, are you going to get out? And I said, I don't plan on it. Mind you, I'm like on the verge of tears. I don't plan on it. And he said, well, you broke it because you're fat, so you should probably move. So I slid myself out the chair, and the chair crumbles, and everyone sees it. And some people snicker. My teacher, bless his soul, which is really funny because me and him had problems as like a teacher, as like him teaching. But bless his soul, that moment, like really suffered because he also was fat.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey, we will not laugh, we will not snicker, like this is not the space to make fun of somebody, right? I ran out the room. I said, can I be excused? He said, go ahead. I ran out the room crying. I like ran the bathroom, mm-hmm. crying my ass for like 15 minutes, because I was like, I broke a chair. And now whenever I go into a classroom, if a chair creaks, I'm like, this chair could break, and then that will shatter everything that I've built.
Go ahead. Are you sure?
Go ahead.
No, finish
your thought. No, go ahead.
No, there's just all these things that people don't think about that are related to exactly what you just said, which is all these different weight stigmas, mm-hmm. I believe they're called. Yeah, no, it's not that. So there... Sir... people don't realize that sizeism is a legit thing. You have sexism, so you have racism. Sizeism. There's sizeism, mm-hmm. which is exactly what you're describing, which is where you aren't, you can't walk into a space and know that there's going to be accommodations for you in your yes. body size as you are now. Yes. So you gave the example of walking into a classroom yeah. and acceptance. There's the example of people having to go on a plane and being afraid that, am I going to have to buy two seats because the person next to me is going to be uncomfortable or going to give me a dirty look? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's all these different things mm-hmm. that you have to like maneuver and deal with that you shouldn't yeah. have to.
Yeah, if you even have to ask for an extender for your
yeah, body. Exactly.
You know, it's funny, it's sad because I used to, then this is part of my internalizing shame. When I go on an airplane, I would measure myself in the sense of, like, I know I'm too fat when I can't fit in a seat. Mm-hmm. That, like, that's when I know I'm too fat. So as long as I'm not that, I'm fine. And that sizeism even extends to shaming other fat people.
Yeah.
Being fat but saying, I'm not as fat as this person,
so I'm okay. I'm fine.
You know, which
exactly.
I'm, first of all, I'm guilty of, because that is what, that's what I'm fed, you know? It's like, you know, like, it's sad because it's, like, in the fat world, a lot of people see it as like, well, if you're not this fat, you're fine.
Yeah.
You know, and it really, really sucks.
And it also, it's a whole other side to this too, is dealing with sizeism. And not only are you dealing with these pressures from your family, your friends, the media, everything around you, but then you go to a physician or a doctor or somebody who is supposed to help you with your overall wellness, right? And you're met with a kind of like head on attack for who you are, and they automatically think that they know what you need and what your body needs based on looking at you. And if you even look like you have a larger body, most of the time their answer for what's wrong with you is going to be that you need to lose weight without even testing you, yeah. without even seeing your blood work and your results. So what are your experiences?
Well, have you experienced shame in a doctor's office?
I personally have not experienced shame other than in the school setting when my teacher made being on the BMI chart and being said that you're overweight.
So I've experienced shame directly and indirectly. I've experienced shame directly one time, and that was when a few years ago I had gotten my blood pressure tested and it was a bit higher than before. It was right after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bit higher than usual. And the nurse just, like, I can just tell, like, she didn't care, you know, because she was really thin, you know, she, I imagine, was in quote-unquote great shape.
But why do you assume that?
Well, I mean, because she was saying how she walks every day and stuff, and she was like, yeah, I'm in great shape. So I'm literally just saying what she said.
Okay.
And so, to my blood pressure, she was like, blood pressure a bit high. Like, did you eat well over the Thanksgiving? I was like, well, Thanksgiving is what I had. You know, I mean, I definitely, like, had.
I ate.
I was like, I definitely ate my fill. How was your Thanksgiving? And her response was, I walked 6 miles. But just like that. And I was like, it's great. Did you have a family over now? No, I just walked. They went to the gym afterwards. So I can tell from that moment she was already like, I don't give a fuck, because your blood pressure's high, and you know, and so then we've been talking more. Then she was like, so I see you're overweight, and it's probably the cause of your blood pressure raising is that you're obese. And I was like, well, I've had good blood pressure forever. And she was like, well, have you gained weight since last time? I was like, you tell me. And she and it was funny because I had like lost weight since the year before. So she's like, oh, we actually lost weight, but it's probably because
exactly.
it's probably because you're obese. Like, legit, just probably because you're obese. And I was so uncomfortable the entire session. I was like, she's
attacking you.
Directly shaming me.
She's attacking you.
And then indirectly, it happens almost every time I go to the doctor. If I'm being completely honest, I have avoided going to the doctor this year.
Mm-hmm.
So far, because I just don't want to deal with that. I know that when I get on the scale, they're going to measure me. I'm going to see the number. I'm going to say, ah, shit, I'm still fat, which at the end of the day, like, is not a problem. You know, I'm going to say, ah, shit, I'm still fat. My doctor's going to say, Jordan, you're obese. And I'm going to say, yes, I am. Thank you for recognizing that. He's going to say, do you work out? I'm going to say, yes, I do. What do you do, Jordan? I do yoga. I sometimes go and walk, sometimes I run, I go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say I work out some sort of way at least 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
For how long? For an hour a day. How do you eat? I eat primarily vegetarian lifestyle at home. I sometimes eat chicken or fish. Do you go out often? I try not to. Like, I'm gonna have all the right answers to all those questions.
Yeah.
And he's gonna say, well, you should be losing weight then. So how can I lose weight? And then he will recommend some sort of diet plan, or say, I can give you a number for a nutritionist, or recommend OptiFast or some sort of plan to help me lose weight. And I know it's work, and it's cyclical. It's the same thing every time. So I have been intentionally avoiding this doctor's appointment because I know it's going to happen, and I don't want to deal with that. Which isn't good, because like I said, a doctor should be there for your health and wellness, and I should be able to be comfortable with my doctor. But I haven't found a doctor yet where we can have this talk. We can talk like this. You know, I can't talk like this with my doctor at all.
Well, because you don't, there are not a lot of physicians that believe in health at every size, right? And so health at every size is saying that you can, essentially what it means, you can be healthy as you are, whether you have a larger body or you are a thinner body. It doesn't matter where the hell you fall on that spectrum. I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, I'm not going to judge what I think your health is based on looking at you, right? Because they have this whole thing of like, oh, there's such thing as like skinny fat, right? Mm-hmm. Or the opposite of that, because it really does not matter. There are people who are in quote unquote thinner bodies who do not take care of themselves. They don't do yoga. They don't go on walks every day. They do not work out 4 times a week. They do not primarily eat at home a vegetarian lifestyle, right? But because they're in a thinner body, they don't have to worry about all of that. It doesn't matter what they consume. It doesn't matter their mental state. It doesn't matter anything else, because their body looks like they're okay. I can think of examples of that right now. People I watch on YouTube who openly show different things that they eat. Not that it matters, but it's just showing that, like, they're eating and doing whatever they want. Mm-hmm. Why the hell can't you, mm-hmm. right? And so mm-hmm. I just feel like it's so unfair that, for instance, if a thinner person goes to In-N-Out and wants to get animal fries, cheese, everything on it, they're not viewed any differently. Mm. You put a larger person who's doing the same thing, they're getting judged. Why are you eating that? You're not taking care of yourself.
And even then, they're glorified for eating like that,
too. They're glorified, yeah. Because
then you say, oh my God, you look amazing. Like, how do you eat like that? And then put it all away. God, like, I aspire to be you.
But the sad thing is that thin person that is eating those fries, they're not even practicing good self-care, because I can guarantee you that they're telling their friend or they're telling themselves, oh my God, I feel guilty for eating this, first of all. I'm going to go, quote-unquote, work this off at the gym afterwards. And so they might even have an unhealthy way of viewing food and themselves and their body, because everyone is affected and shamed in this mm-hmm. in some type of way.
Okay, so,
there's no winning in that.
Okay, so really could just say that, because it's going to be thinking. And I want to segue a little bit, just real quick, to when people who have, we'll say, like, societally viewed, like, good bodies, when they say, I feel fat, mm-hmm. and they say in the space of a fat person, I think it's extremely problematic.
Yeah.
Because it happens to me quite often when someone's like, I feel fat. And then I say, well, I actually am fat, so what's wrong with being fat? And then their response is, well, no, you look good. Like that looks good on you, but not on me. And that bothers me a lot, because I think that brings in, like, a disassociation mm-hmm. of who we are. And it brings, and, you know, it pushes out this... It perpetuates this notion that, like, we're different. And we are different as people.
Yeah.
But we're not different because my weight was, quote unquote, good on me and doesn't on you. Like, you can't say that. And they use that as their defense. And I know people say that because they don't know what else to say. Because truly, when you call them out on it, they're like, well,
uh-huh.
Yeah, they're like, well, shit, I have to say something else then. But truly, like, that happens, you know, quite often. It's really frustrating for at least for me when I hear that. I have a friend, I had a friend who would constantly talk about how fat they are and say, I'm so fat. Mind you, they were continually getting hit on by people. Meeting new people, going on dates and stuff and hooking up with them. And in a way, I will say I fit into that problem as well by saying, like, well, like at least people like you, at least people see you as attractive or something, and they would just continue to be like, yes, but I'm so fat, and they only want me for, like, one day, and they don't want me for, like, longevity.
And why does that have anything to do with them being fat? But I think that's the problem. We need to stop being, first of all, like, afraid of fat, and stop seeing fat as being unattractive. Mm-hmm. Within ourselves and within everybody, like...
No, I agree. I've lived much of my life thinking that. And we even still have conversations today. But I think it's... For me, it's changed. Because before, I used to think... I'm single because I'm fat and I'm gross. Now I think I'm single because I'm fat and people don't see my worth despite me being fat.
They're not educated enough to see past what society has taught them. And that's their bad.
And I see it as like, yeah, I'm fat. I'm also a dope person. I feel good looking, not even based on another person by it, but with myself, like, I like how I look.
And because you're on the journey of realizing that your body, literally your body weight, how you look, has nothing to do with your capabilities. Like, it doesn't. If you let that be something that hinders you, then yeah, it doesn't matter what size you are, your body is going to get in the way of you. Do you know what I mean? But if you can realize that, like, I am so much more than what is right here on the outside. And do you get what I'm saying?
I'm so much more than my weight.
And like an example of this, because I was listening to a podcast earlier where they were delving into, have you seen the Oprah Weight Watchers ads?
Yes.
We're talking about how problematic that is. That could be a whole other video. But just to briefly touch on it, to get my point across, is you have this highly, highly, one of the most successful women in the world, right? Who is literally, first of all, endorsing a weight loss diet program, right? And second of all, she is basically saying that despite all of her accolades and all of her accomplishments, she is still not happy because of her weight. Yeah. She's trying to tell me that Oprah Winfrey is going to let her weight hold her back when she has already accomplished everything. No one's going to love her any less or any more if she is 10 pounds lighter or freaking 10 pounds heavier. And when they said that on the podcast, I was like, that is so baffling. But it also, to me, stems back to where body positivity originally stemmed from, which is this feminist movement. Because you look at how much it oppresses women and people in general, and you look at Oprah and you're like, wow, you're literally up here, girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And you are still being oppressed by this, by these weight stigmas and by this idea that your body has to be look a certain way for you to be okay. You're already successful. You're already working out. I see you're doing yoga on Weight Watchers. You got to lose 10 pounds to be able to do yoga? No. I see bodies of all sizes and shapes do yoga.
You are preaching to the choir.
Like, yes. I can't deal with people. Yes, I just can't. It just doesn't make sense to me anymore. I had a conversation
recently with a friend, and he said the same thing. You know, he said that he works out a lot. Mm-hmm. He looks really good. He's really handsome. He is gay muscular, and he was saying a big part of why I work out, I work out because I know that when I break into like my industry, like people will respond better to me because I will be more muscular and I'll look better and I'll be better looking. You may not think this, but backhandedly that is shaming me.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're saying is that because your body is better, you have a higher chance than me than getting a job.
Exactly.
Which, let me tell you, is not the truth. Not the truth. Because the job is going to be based on who you are, not what you look like, who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're not going to get the job because you look thinner than me. That is not the thing. But he truly, and I'm not trying to shame him in any way, but
yeah.
I do want to point the problem, I think, when he said that he is truly saying that his success in life will be measured on his body. And which you really just said. And
it's baffling when you see it in that way, right? It's kind of like...
And it's a really, like, retrogressively radical thought.
It is.
To think that your success is measured by your body.
But we have been so programmed to see it that way. So anything straying from that, it's radical. This whole conversation's radical. Mm-hmm. If you compare it to what we've been taught. And there's so many people who are not going to agree and not going to understand it. But that's okay.
But it's sad because there are people in these industries who perpetuate that notion, because you know they will hire you if you are quote unquote good looking. Abercrombie and Fitch had that entire scandal years ago where they literally said we don't hire like big people, like mm-hmm. we hire people who are good looking, people who are more white, more blonde haired, who fit a social standard of what beauty is.
Exactly.
And it's sad but it's true, you see it a lot, and you see it in a lot of fashion. You have to look a certain way to be successful, and that is just sad.
But it is our reality, and I think it starts with having these conversations that shift our views of people. Because in order to get away from that, exactly what we just described, this whole Abercrombie and Fitch thing, and essentially judging people based off of what they look like and you look at them and you think that you know their whole health and life and lifestyle. You have no idea, right? But I think it does start with having these kind of conversations, just where you open up the possibility that, look, there's alternatives. You've been taught this one way, but look, there are all these different ways that you can think. And if you are struggling with any part of this, like, this does not have to be your reality. If you've been hating your body for the last 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, you don't have to live hating your body for the rest of your life. Yeah, and you
Can I say, I'm not saying, if you are this social standard, I'm not saying don't love your body, because you should love your body. You should all...
No, it's not about... We don't body shame people in any spectrum. But what I want to get out is...
And I think this whole notion... It incites the idea of, like, elitism. That you're better than somebody else because of your body. And, like, don't ever think that you're better than somebody else because of your body.
Exactly.
You know, love yourself is one thing, and that is powerful to love yourself in any possible way. But never love yourself to the point where you say that, or you fully believe that you're better than somebody else because of how you look. And I think that whole notion of that beauty, of the social beauty, incites that in so many people, that they're worth more.
Sorry. That was good. Yeah. And on that, I think we can end this first chunk of this discussion of body positivity, because, like you said, Jordan, no.
Yeah, I'm going to turn away real quick. Let me just say this. I also hate when if you feel fat, you feel fat, and that is okay.
But fat is not a feeling. Can I challenge that, though? Fat is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. So when people say that, then that's what you need to say to them. Fat is not a feeling. Ooh, what are you feeling? Good. How do you feel right
that's
now?
Good.
That is
that
some is, summer in and in right there.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yes.
It's true.
Okay, I'm
take
that
fat. Fat is not a feeling. Fat is a word. Just like you say, I am black. I am a woman. I am fat. Right.
That's what true, are you because feeling? Because you wouldn't say I feel black.
You wouldn't say that. No.
Yes, you're right. Damn, that's good.
Okay. Right. So how are you feeling? But I'm sorry. You go with your.
Well,
voice.
Shit. That's gonna take out what I gotta say.
If someone says to you, I feel fat.
Do not counter with, no, you're beautiful. I have had many occasions where I said, I feel fat. So I was like, no, Jordan, you're beautiful. I never said I wasn't beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I never said I wasn't beautiful, bitch. I said I feel fat. Stop. I know that sounds aggressive, but I want everyone to understand this. Detach. Detach beauty and body. They are not mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
They are two separate identities.
Yeah.
Detach them. If someone that you love says, I feel fat, exactly, challenge it and say, fat's not a feeling. Mm-hmm. Why do you feel that way? Do not even, because you think you're helping by saying, no, you're beautiful. But that's also implying that if you are fat, you are not beautiful.
Exactly. And it's also implying that you have to be beautiful. Like, I love Summer In and In. Because she always brings up this idea, too, of, like, it's okay to be ugly. You don't have to be chasing beautiful all the time. Like, it's okay to be unattractive to other people. And that, to me, is a radical... Like, I don't know if that is as radical to you as it feels to me,
that
in a sense.
Is.
But that's a radical-ass thought to be like, I can be ugly and unattractive and I don't fucking care. And I'm going to live my life and I'm going to accomplish everything I want to accomplish right now. Because it's just another...
No, girl, that is... That,
she ooh, be hitting home.
That's a layer. Ooh, that's we have to explore that shit on another episode sometimes. That is profound AF. Okay.
I'm gonna let that sink in. We've touched on a lot of topics right now. We just kind of started delving into the whole body positive thing. This is the first chunk of it all.
But if you don't know what body positive is, what are some resources you can give out? Yeah.
Okay, so I recommend podcasts if you like listening to things. I just feel like they're a great way to kind of get this information in your head as you're doing other things, as you're driving in the car, as you're eating, making food, doing whatever. So I mentioned Summer In and In. She has a great podcast. It's called Fearless Rebel Radio. There's Merit Boxler, which is Life Unrestricted. Another good one is Escape Diet Prison. Her name is Anna Sophia Reinhardt. The Love Food Podcast is a really good one.
Love that one.
What's another? Those are the main ones I can think off the top of my head right now. What is her name? Christy? It's called Food Psych, the Food Psych podcast. I forget what her name is, but that's another really great one. Those are the podcast versions. I really recommend people to, I know you and I have done this, mm-hmm. where we follow a lot of really body positive people on our social media feeds, and so we get that kind of going. Mm-hmm. And so Body Posy Panda is a really good one, mm-hmm. That I can think of.
I love Gabby Fresh. She is a plus size
Gabby Fresh is really good.
Whatever. I'm Just Hottie is always, to me, is always a standard of to start with. Mm-hmm. Famously, Gabori Sidibe.
I know who you're talking about.
She played Precious. A long time, people are like, hey, what's up, Precious? You know, because shaming her for her weight. And she is, I think, one of the most best people to look at for embracing her fat. Because mm-hmm. she is always like, I'm fat and I'm beautiful. And, mm-hmm. and you know, like, she is always embracing. So she's always embracing her body. I would definitely say Fogaboy said, but I love her.
And you said F Your Beauty Standards earlier.
The F Your Beauty Standards movement has a whole page. And even then, they often feature their admins. They often feature other people as well. Notoriously Dapper is somebody.
I love him. He dresses so
sick. I love his style of a style.
I love his socks.
Yeah.
His socks help.
I just want to be his friend. Yeah. So I think that's a great little BOPO starter pack.
And one more I got to throw in there real quick. The This Is Me project is another up and coming.
Plug it!
Seriously, it's Jordan's project. I'm sure he can talk about it a little bit more. But it is all about self-love. Or you don't have to talk about it right now, boo-boo.
I'm doing this Is Me project. Plug it in real quick. Yeah, so This Is Me project, like a minute breakdown, is all about human positivity. We focus on the idea of taking the social pressures you have in your life, whether it is racial, about sexual orientation, your body type, body weight, body size, ability versus disability, able-bodied versus not able-bodied, mental health, everything that revolves around you being you, we take those pressures and we write them upon ourselves, and then we combat them with messages of positivity we tell ourselves. That we hopefully end on this notion of, like, I'm all these things that study sees me as all these things, but I'm still who I am, and that's fucking powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, awesome. like, truly, that is the epitome of radical.
Yeah.
To be able to say who you are and own who you are. So yes, This Is Me project. You can follow us on Instagram at This Is Me Proj. We also have a WordPress, thisismeproj.wordpress.com. We're also on Facebook. Like us, follow us.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to put all these resources that we mentioned in our description, and we'll have links and everything so that when you're done listening to this, you can just kind of go to the description, click on them, and start kind of exploring it for yourself. And I think what I want to leave everybody with is just to know that it's a journey, and we've talked about a lot of deep things here, a lot of things that might be unfamiliar and new to a lot of people. And so if any of it stuck with you at all, like we said, just explore it. Just research these people, read about it if you want to learn more.
And I think this is
explore it.
It's a good little self-love message that we saw on Instagram earlier from Body Posy Panda that I think Emma's going to read for us right now. It's a good little notion to end on for all of us.
Okay. Dear body, you were never a problem. There is nothing wrong with your size. Your curves, your scars, your flaws, your stretch marks, or you. It's not your job to look like the people in magazines. It's not your job to look pretty. You're good enough already.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Self Podcast. We appreciate you, and we are so honored to have you with us on this journey of exploration.
Join us next week as we take another step on this road to discovery. I'm Jordan Daniels.
And I am Emily Ayers.
And this is the Self Podcast.